When you look at Berkeley, you think about science, and one thing that you think about is there's a lot of testing and a lot of scientific evidence that goes into every bait they make, but they've also got a guy that's their conservation director, and with me today is Jim Martin. And Jim, you know, Berkeley, the first company that really put a conservation director in place, and it was a company that looked at a biologist to do that, and welcome to the program, I guess, also.
Hey, thanks, Terry. It's great to be here and talk to your listeners.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your job. You know, as conservation director, that probably means a lot of things to different people. Could you go through your job, kind of what you do each and every day?
You bet. When Tom Bedell, the chairman of our company, hired me, he basically boiled my job down in one sentence, and that was, help us advocate for the future of fishing, for the quality of our water, for the sustainability of our resource. And our technology guys will do the rest. We'll make the line, we'll make the baits, we'll make the rods, we'll make the finest gear in the world. But if we don't have a healthy resource, we're dead in the water. So they hired me, a professional fisheries biologist from Oregon, to advocate for the future of fishing and for the health of our resource.
Man, that's a lot to do, and you did that very, very well in a very short sentence or two. But really, you know, what it comes down to is the fact that if we don't look downstream, and I think that's probably as important as anything, if we don't look downstream, our future doesn't look very bright, does it?
Well, that's right. You know, the delight of fishing is such a wonderful family fishing experience, and we look around the world because we are a worldwide company. We see places where industrial pollution has just taken people off the water or literally threatened their health if they eat the fish that they pursue. And that takes the passion right out of the sport. That takes the future generation right out of the sport. And we're dedicated to turning that around wherever that's happened and preventing it where it hasn't happened yet.
Well, all of the companies that I've been involved with at BassFan, and there's a lot of them, you don't really run into too many of them that think the way that Berkeley does. I mean, it's a science organization. It's about looking at the things that make fish tick. You know, Mark Sexton told me one time that he really tries to take the number of casts out between fish. And, you know, when you look at that, that's important.
You know, our tradition of being dedicated to the future of fishing started out in 1939 with our founder, Berkeley Bedell, then went through his son and our CEO, Tom Bedell, right on through to our current CEO Pat McIntyre. And what we believe is science and technology produces the best gear, but good solid conservation produces the best resource. And we won't be selling our gear to those avid maniac fishermen just like me if the resource is damaged. So we have a responsibility as a company to stand up for that resource, to stand up for those future fishermen, some of which haven't even been born yet, make sure that they have the wonderful resource that we have handed off to them.
Well, when we get it, you know, we have sometimes a tendency to just use it and not really give anything back. And I know Berkeley, they're trying to give things back as well.
Well, you know, most fishermen care about conservation. That's the good news. The bad news is they don't necessarily understand what the issues are in their area. They don't understand how to make a difference. What's typical of fishermen is for them to get mad as hell about things that have already been decided, but to not know that those decisions are teed up ahead of time so that they can weigh in. Now, our company hired me, a professional fisheries biologist, to track the issues, the government decisions which are going to influence the quality of the health of our fishery, and to help us weigh in with an argument for jobs and economics. It's a unique argument that only our industry can bring to the political table, and we make it very, very well. Tom Bedell asked me to help tee up those decisions so when he needed to weigh in on behalf of our company, and literally on the behalf of a billions of dollars industry and millions of fishermen, that we would do it in a way that really moved the political needle. And that's my job, and I absolutely love it.
Well, you think about it, you know, and some people would probably say that, you know, well, there's profits involved in that. But in reality, it's about our health and welfare. And, you know, profits, of course, play into it, but it isn't really the major role.
Well, a healthy sport fishing industry basically means a high-quality environment for us to live in and a wonderful society where we can have those delightful family experiences out on the water without worrying about the health of the food we're feeding our children, without worrying about them getting diseased from the water. You know, when we start to destroy our sustainable natural resources, we start to destroy our entire lifestyle. And those kind of profits are only short-term. What we're after is a healthy economy long-term and a wonderful place to live all over the world where anglers can enjoy their sport.
Well, I think that's crucial because you mentioned something all over the world. And when you think about that, you know, our water and fisheries have gotten better in the last few years. And I think a large portion of that can go to people like you that go out and try to get ahead of the game a little bit, as you mentioned earlier, and try to fight this thing before it's already decided, as you mentioned.
Well, you know, we've made some real progress on some of our traditional problems like pollution and channelization and overt habitat destruction. But the more subtle problems like runoff pollution coming out of rapidly expanding cities, that not things that pour out of any one pipe that can be permitted, but just water that flows off our streets and water that flows out of our rose gardens and things like that, that's a more subtle pollution problem. That's going to take everybody working in the watershed together. And as we look at the specter of climate change coming along, it's going to change a lot of ecosystems, and it's going to stress a lot of ecosystems. There's a lot of practical things we can do right now to anticipate the habitat challenges of the future. You know, every single person, whether they're a fisherman or not, they want a healthy watershed, and they want healthy water for their family. Well, the interests of fishermen correspond with that perfectly. Fishermen want healthy water, too, because without it, we're not going to have healthy fish stocks, and we're not going to have the joy and the delight of our sport.
Well, I live in the Midwest, and of course, you know, we have a great farming and soybean crop, as they do in Iowa, where Berkeley's at, and you look at what happens there, the runoff from herbicides, pesticides, you know, even fertilizers can change the ecosystem, no question about it.
Terry, it can change the ecosystem in your local nearby streams, and it changes the ecosystem all the way down the Mississippi to the dead zone in the Gulf. So we have a lot of challenges, and we're beginning to see that this watershed concept unites a pig farm in Iowa with a dead zone and dead fish in the Gulf of Mexico, and we need a whole watershed response. And that's what a lot of the state-of-the-art of the science is working on now, is how do we make changes in headwaters that will ensure sustainable fisheries and healthy watersheds all the way down into the ocean.
Yeah, it's a very, very important role. Now, you know, I guess a question that comes to mind for me, you get involved in all kinds of different programs, and people can call Berkeley and ask for advice and some of those kind of things on different issues, but how do you choose which ones are most important?
Well, we choose the ones that will have the most impact in the long term and are the most teed up right now for a political decision. You know, in a democracy like ours, the decisions are going to be made through the political system. And there's going to be a lot of advocacy and a lot of information sharing and a lot of political tugging and pulling that goes on between, for example, industries that might want to use our waters for diluting their pollution versus industries like ours that want healthy, sustainable fish runs. And what we try to do is figure out what are the decisions that are being made now that will make the most long-term difference. So we're working on things like recycling fishing line and turning it into Berkeley Fish Habs, which is a long-standing program to reduce litter and to reduce dangerous discarded monofilament fishing line, all the way up to advocating for protections for our waters through the Clean Water Act. We're working very actively right now on the reauthorization of the Magnuson Act, which is the central law that governs marine fisheries. It's a huge opportunity to improve marine recreational fisheries throughout the country and also science-based decision-making. We work on things like climate change. We work on things like mercury pollution. We work with local groups to recycle fishing line and install fish habs and reservoirs to improve diversity. We're working very actively right now on Pacific salmon recovery here in the Northwest where I live. We've got a bill in Congress that we're supporting to substantially improve sportsmen's access. We get to work on some of the most timely and important management decisions to be made, political decisions to be made each year. And each year we update our conservation agenda to try to figure out how we can make the most difference for the longest term for the health of our fishing.
Well, Jim, I applaud, and I know here at Bass Fan, we applaud all the work that you're doing there at Berkeley and Pure Fishing, and look forward to you keeping me appraised of what's going on in this area. And if there's anything we can do, of course we will.
Well, Terry, I really appreciate you just helping us to reach so many anglers who really care. As I said, the thing we've learned is anglers are passionate about the conservation of resources, but they don't necessarily know what decisions are coming up, and they don't know how to make the most personal difference. So it's through the media that we get to connect with the anglers. We get to send them heads up to weigh in with Congress on this issue or that issue, people who are interested in what we're doing on conservation can get us at berkeley.com or purefishing.com and track what we're doing here in the Berkeley Conservation Institute. It's just a delight to visit with you.
I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.